pray with me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David.
Beloved David.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Oh. Oh. Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Do a short meditation.
remain forever under sanctuary of my devotion. May thy love shine forever under sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. Prema, 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 prema. Yogananda Sadgurudeva Sharanam. Prema, 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 prema. Yogananda Sadgurudeva Sharanam. Prema, 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 prema. Sadgurudeva Sharanam. May thy love shine forever in the sanctuary of my devotion. May thy love shine forever in the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. May I be able to awaken thy love in a heart, in a heart. Sharanam. Prema, 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 prema. Yogananda Sadgurudeva Sharanam.
My Bible reading this evening is from Psalm 3. Interesting, I just stumbled across Psalm 3 and 103, both with verse 8. But I'm going to read all of Psalm 3. It's pretty short. Only has 8 verses. Lord, how they are increased to trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many be there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. And here's 103. Starting with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy love, thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And then this little thing around Luke chapter 6. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's really beautiful. So we have much to contend with in the world in the one verse, and we are assured of God's support, and we are also told not to resolve things ourselves, basically. Let God do it. Cast yourself with God. So I really loved the talk of mothers on this last Sunday. It was a 1979 talk that Mother gave, and it was very powerful. I just remember so well, I'm reading that same thing I remember so well, but I remember so well when Mother gave this talk and how this reflected her way of speaking in those days. It was very powerful. So here's a little quote from that I like a lot. You must give yourself to God totally. It is a total sacrifice. And Jesus, the man, showed us the way to do this. And because he was that first one from God, he was pure spirit, and he took on a form of flesh. But he is that divine within every single living thing in this world. Therefore, if we look at him from the universal standpoint, we must acknowledge that he is greater than the Buddha, than Zoroaster, than Muhammad, than Nanak, than all of the great teachers who have led humanity out of the darkness into the light, because he was the original one who came forth. I am not speaking of Jesus the man, as the Orthodox Christians speak of him, but of that Christ spirit, that Christ consciousness, that Christ power, that which is the life, the breath, the everything in every man, and without which man cannot live, nor move, nor breathe, nor have his being. This is a common theme for Mother, to take us into the Bible, to talk about these things as though they may have happened historically, and that they are a story of one person's influence in the world, and one person, though divine, one person coming to the earth late in the day, because many souls have been born before that. But Mother always pointed us to within. It's so important to think that I am that I am means the I am that is the perpendicular pronoun, the true self. When we say self-realization, we mean self in a different way than most. And this, of course, is Master. This is how Master saw it, and he called his organization Self-Realization Fellowship for that reason. So is to have people question him, perhaps. It brings in questions because they think, oh, you want to get realized and ignore God. But rather, he forced people to, asking that question, come to understand that self means God, because God's self is something we take part in, we participate in. It couldn't be any other way. We are living God's life. There's many negative associations with coming to this plane, and that many people want to leave this plane, and I certainly feel that, you know, at my age, that it makes sense that there is some relief to be had between lifetimes. But there's another philosophical side for me that says that we don't get done with this life. We never get done. We just change. We have forms of change. We go from a childhood to adulthood, to family, children, and then old age and death. Those are different phases, and we think of them as being continuous. We are very limited in our lower self, lowercase self, as to seeing it. But we, in the outer sense, have been able to reach into the world of spirit by meeting our guru. This is a tremendous, tremendous gift, to meet a guru, to meet a saint. And it's your great good karma and fortune that you have met one. So we are asked to go within and to find God within, amongst all the diversions of life, amongst all the distractions. We need to always keep God in mind. So in this latest book that Kate did most of the work on, O Master, My Savior, in the glossary we found definition for Nirvikalpa Samadhi that's different than I thought it was there. And it was also the same as in the glossary we put into the mystical crucifixion. And it was defined as without time. Now, Master describes it as being without seeds. And that seeds of karma. And there's two samadhis that Master talks about. He talks about Savakalpa Samadhi, that which has seeds, Sava meaning with, Nir meaning, Nirvikalpa meaning without seeds. And looking this up in more detail, there's many different ways of looking at it. But I love the idea that it is without time, because Time is such a taskmaster for us. And to gain the state where we don't see time, we don't see the influence of the past, and we don't worry about the future playing out of things that are happening now, future things that occur because of what's going on now. We constantly live in time rather than be here now, to be here, to note that we are here. Consciousness is the one thing that no one can explain. We know that we are conscious. We may not know why we are here. We may not know why we have to go through things that we do and why we're sitting in the room that we're sitting in. But we know that we know this stuff. We know we are conscious. We are aware. We have awareness. This is the life that we have been brought to here, and to play both roles. We have to play both roles to function in this world. But the automatic force of aspects of the body can be dealt with the mind. And when we separate our understanding of who we are from the mind and recognize that we are the great self that's being described in great statement of I am that I am. But, you know, Jesus also said something similar. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say I was. So he was trying to show that he has always been with us. He always will be. But that's because he always is. Always is. And he resides within each one of us in a form that we can understand, if we would but look. Mother says, I am not speaking of Jesus the man, as the Orthodox Christians speak of him, but of that Christ spirit, that Christ consciousness, that Christ power, that which is the life, the breath, the everything in every man, and without which man cannot live, nor move, nor breathe, nor have his being. So man is, the description here is of the self, the lowercase self, because man in the higher sense, the self in the higher sense, uppercase self, doesn't need to breathe. To have our being. So I want to make this point clear, not that I'm the inventor of it by any means, but I want to have you all know what's being described when it says, not I think, therefore I am, but I am, therefore I think. I am precedes everything. It's the true existence. It precedes everything in time. And without time, we only can settle on God. There is only God. He acts through us. You know, this life is like in much of our life. I watched a video. I know I've talked about this before, but it's quite interesting to see an animal, especially a cat, like a cougar or a bobcat that I've seen recently, and bears, and of course deers also. They do find themselves snarled in some kind of fence or some other thing with trees, and they're freed. But during the time which you're freeing them, the animal acts out viciously and angrily, because we're not tuned into that which is freeing us. And you know, sometimes the animal is so snared in barbed wire that even to remove the barbed wire is painful. And of course, they see the man doing it. They don't know how they got into this, and did the man cause it? Is the man going to torture the animal more? Because the animal's life is nothing but torture at the moment. He's lost, a lot of these animals have either lost consciousness or nearly so, and breathing their last breath. And so similarly with us, when God is coming into this life to free us, the difficulty that we have spiritually with Kundalini, of course, is always mentioned. A crucible is formed around us to bring about the great transformation, this great realization that takes us to God and to seeing God and to knowing God and to living God continuously and always and reflexively. Reflexively is a wonderful word because it is saying that the state that you're in is settled. And so an action that comes from it is reflecting something outside, reacting to something outside. So if you can reflexively think of God all the time, no matter what hits us, that is a very different state than reflexively acting out against the man, in my example, of trying to free us an animal that's ensnarled. I've often thought of the Maya, the world that we live in, you know, this keeping us encased, as the tar baby story. And this is why gurus, when they come into this world and try to free a tar baby, they get themselves dirty with the tar too. But they're smart enough to know about this tar, how it is ensnaring us. And so they can free us, but they take on some of it themselves to do it. And so these animal saviors that are in these videos, and these are just oftentimes someone puts a camera on somebody who's doing something remarkable with an animal. So it happens many, many times where it's not filmed. You know, my uncle in Montana that I spent 5 summers with in the high school years, he butchered a steer and was, you know, very nonchalant, but very respectful. But he didn't like animal cruelty at all. And of course, how he killed the steer is very calm, didn't know anything was going on, and he shot it with a .22. And we learned from what he learned that a .22 long rifle is much more effective than a short. So that's one of the things I experienced there. But he always had great respect for animals. He would never run over an animal, never cause any harm, not just to his own cattle or chickens or pigs, but to animals in the wild. Very respectful. And so myself, I was into guns and the whole world of being what I thought was a man, or doing more manly things. And believe me, my uncle was manly. I saw him come close to death once, and it was only his own long experience around animals that saved him. And other times too, some dangerous things. But this respect for animals and this love for these situations that they find themselves in, these animals find themselves in, and with complete understanding, the human knows why the trap which caught the cougar. Now, oftentimes these modern traps don't have claws that break the wrist bones or the paws, but the because of the shape and everything, they hold the leg quite well. And once the leg is freed, though, the animal can run and not damaged. It used to be different than that. But I think it's probably legal now. The laws require you to have what are called safer traps, released traps. Many animals get caught in these traps. Some places they don't allow you to use traps, but many places have regulations around traps. But the animal is very frightened. And we can see the animal and completely understand why it might try to scratch us, bite us, even kill us. We recognize when we enter into the arena of action, decision to move and to raise the consciousness of the animal. One would hope these things, these memories persist. Later, when the animal is let go, they run away. They all run very quickly, unless they're just completely exhausted. And they don't want anything to do with us. And so sometimes you'll see the guru work with somebody and change them dramatically. And you see it. You know it. Seeing mother do things with people that are surprising and sometimes harsh. And they run away. But the soul takes note of the guru, and the animal can be born again if it takes that many, many lifetimes, perhaps. And then that person, you can gain the consciousness, the understanding that the man who is trying to free an animal knows the situation, knows what they're dealing with, knows that they're dangerous, and knows that they're frightened. And taking into consideration all those things, you then, because of your knowledge of how the mechanics of the trap work, that unique knowledge, it's unique knowledge, how that trap has to be released is very difficult. These little traps are designed to snap and hold, and they're tied to an anchor point. Doesn't this sound like our life? Some aspects of our life. And so many, many people come great close to the guru. And many times they'll tell you they're scared of her or scared of what is represented. I mean, it comes into calling mother the devil sometimes. And David had that happen too. And this is natural. And it's natural for them to leave. And to be glad to be away from it. But that's because they misunderstand. They don't understand what the guru knows. The guru can see that which is holding us. Now, there's a part of us that's deeply ensconced in the reincarnational cycle that is more like the tar baby. And that's a different process. That's where the, I don't know what a tar baby is. That's a good question. Some kind of animal is that that's coated with tar. In Uncle Remus' story, though, it was called the tar baby. And I don't remember. I should read that. This has occurred to me many times before, and I keep forgetting to read. God's kept me from reading it because I'm just thinking now. I still haven't actually read the. I think there might be some great symbolic or parable involved in the tar baby. But the inner part of the soul is different when it's more like, and it's more like a tar baby. So when these sheaths come off of us and we get to that which is covering us, it takes time to wash off the tar. It takes heat to remove it off and combing through it. Maybe a solution of something that will dissolve the tar. And the person who's being treated with this, many times, you know, people who live through a tarring on the old, you know, what was it, run out of town, what is it, tar? Do anybody want to remember what this phrase is? You run out of town on a rail, and they were tarred and feathered.
Tarred and feathered, yeah.
Thank you. And so you think what's involved in cleaning that. That person is glad to sit and let the person know, help with the removal. Because that is something, you, every bit of tar that's removed, you can feel better, and you know who's doing it. And you know why they're doing it. Even if it's yourself, you're not running scared. You are. You have been many lifetimes absorbing into yourself this tar, and it takes a long time, sometimes, to get it cleaned off. And lifetimes, sometimes. But that's the disciple who is willing, who's completely focused on the guru, willing to undergo, hopefully, that which is required to get the cleaning done. The cleaning is felt very slow sometimes, and it's very harsh to clean the tar off. But once a large amount is off, one has an epiphany each time, a large amount, and you realize, oh, it's getting closer, and you have this view of being clean again. And you think, oh, this is wonderful. These are called spiritual experiences. These are little glimpses. These are little points in our sojourn that say, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Cleaner. I can see clear. I can feel clean. I can be worthy to walk among the saints. Right now, with all the tar coating me, I have my own shame preventing me from witnessing or being with these saints as they want to be. It's like a country bumpkin coming to a great and sophisticated town where people wear suits and ties. You want to fit in, you want to take part. Nowadays, being in a suit and tie and living in the city is not so glamorous, but it was always perceived historically as the places from which great knowledge was stored and came from to make life better. When a great guru comes to the world and takes on this task of cleaning these children, they know what they're up against. And they don't shy away from it because they see the person, they love their devotees, their disciples, with a great, great love that we can't fully apprehend. But the analogy with the man freeing an animal from a cage or from a trap, you know, in each case, the person who did that is feeling of exultation. It's a tremendous feeling that you've done something measurably good. Now, the guru doesn't need that, I agree. But the sympathy, the empathy, and the compassion, all these three play a role. And the guru comes down to do what he knows, what he or she knows is God's work. God freeing God. And that's what that man who freed an animal is recognizing, that animal, something akin to himself. Because it can know what that fear is, they can know what the pain is. They can see the animal in pain, and they can see the fear. They know what it is within their own being. They've experienced it each time they come to the earth. Mother said that Master will come back in 900 years. I don't know what that means exactly. But come back maybe perhaps as a great avatar as he was, in that form where he could change thousands. You know, Kate and I have been working on the ebook, the Kindle version of O Master, My Savior. And of course, we end up reading it and making sure that things are correct, lined up right, and look good on the page, because the Kindle page is so different. It's a complicated story, but there's a lot to it. And so what we're finding ourselves reading, you know, a chapter, we'll look at a chapter to see if it and page through the whole thing, or we'll stop and be reading halfway through, of course. And oh, Mother's description of Master. I mean, was she a good example? Kate did a wonderful job, in pulling out the way that Mother saw Master. And she didn't draw much to herself about her own team like she does. If a given talk is looked at, Mother may talk about Master so sweetly, but later she's talking about herself or other things that she's talking about. But by excerpting the parts that fit together and to make a story of the things that Mother experienced with Master, this is really, these are gems. These are real gems. And Mother gave so much of herself to speak to us and talk to us about these things. And thank God we are able to record it. So when Master comes back in 900 years, Mother said she was going to be with him. Now, of course, there's stories of Master being in the Himalayas, and I wouldn't doubt that. I don't mean to say I know one way or the other, but I wouldn't doubt it. There are stories in amongst Master's devotees and disciples, SRF, and different things that Ananda has put out also, that tell the stories of people. There's one called Yogeshwar. Swami Yogeshwar, I believe. It was kind of a name similar to his own masters and himself. So it doesn't mean he's not still part of this world, watching over everything. But that he comes back in the form that he did in this last time. Every 900 years, who knows? Might be true. There's always the general stories, and then there's the particular stories, and the particular stories are always different than what's expected. So I have another reading. You know, Jill calls Mother's teachings the scriptures, and David's is the commentary. There's just a lot of truth to it. Let me read this thing here, and then we'll close for the night. And this is from that same talk, just little pieces I pulled out. I remember so well when my husband and I went to the ashram to be under Swami Ramdas's guidance in the beginning. When I said to him, Papa, when we get our God realization, we are so constantly filled with bliss that we are inebriated to the point that we can't look after ourselves. Who will take care of us? And he said, oh, God must surely always take care of such ones. And then Mother says, and so he has. But you see, it isn't just that way all the time. You're always one with God when you have paid the full price. But when you come down into this world of duality to teach his truth, which you yourself have experienced through picking up your cross, which is your body, and following the way of the Christ, which was to annihilate the human within himself, that is the everyday human, and find his oneness with God, his Christhood. It is a very different thing because you have to descend to the level of those you teach, and therefore you are involved in a war that is unbelievable because you are fighting all of the forces. And you have to go above the fight. You have to go to God alone, as each and every one of us should do, and place the whole responsibility in his hands. But that is not difficult when you relax and just realize who and what you are in God. But there are times when it stacks up when you don't have time. Excuse me. There are times when it stacks up when you don't have time to rest and relax. And there are times, and lately has been among those times, when things have been coming at God in this form so fast, so rapidly, and so tremendously, in so many ways that are adverse as well as wonderful, that sometimes God in this form feels like giving out with a primordial scream. You've heard about it in classes that they are giving in order to help people to unleash their problems. Many of them deep-seated, many of them stemming from former incarnations, and they goad them to the point where they go all to pieces. I am not in favor of these things. Now, this is what was happening during that time. There was classes, primal scream classes. So I'm sure many of you have heard about it. If not, it's an interesting thing to look into as a, something to learn about. Anyway, Mother says, I'm not in favor of those things. I think it should be approached in a different way. But every now and then, things get pretty tough. And to let your emotions out, to cry or to say, you have hurt me, is good. It is very good, because there has to be a very good reason for your feeling that way. Mother is so balanced and so anxious to make our lives more understandable. She gave us a way of looking at the world and looking at God that showed a way forward. Hope through faith. There are any comments, you're welcome to say something in the next few minutes before I close.
Well, I'm hoping that the earth doesn't have to wait 900 years for the return of these great masters. I remember our David telling me that he was going to live into his 80s. So God does change his mind.
That's not fair. Yeah, I'm constantly struck with that. I feel his loss so keenly sometimes. And you're right. He should have lived until Mother was 86. Yeah. And David should have had at least another 10 years amongst us. But God chose otherwise. And David's busy doing the work from the other side anyway. Perhaps he's already come back too. We don't know. These are mysterious things. The world that is, the world that Master and the great masters live in is, they see things differently, and they have responsibilities that bring them to this, interact with us in ways that we can't understand. But we are assured we are being watched over. We're being protected and we're being guided from within. So,
and who knows whether Mother meant, I mean, I can't recall her exactly saying that. I'm not saying she didn't, but I don't recall that exact thing about Master coming in 900 years. But when Master said it, he would ply the boat back and forth until every soul. So we have to hope he comes before 900
years. To the shores of eternity. Well, I think, you know, there's more than one great master on the earth. Mother says there's 12, and some of the other, other traditions teach that there's 36. There's, I forget, and that makes sense in a sense. Mother always triples things, you know, because of the three bodily jars. See, the 666 is the sixth chakra at each, within each bodily jar. And then with perhaps 36, and this was Zoroastrianism or something I was reading about. Maybe you can remember, Kate, because I remember reading it to you, but I don't remember where. And that there could have been three 12s or masters manifesting at different levels. Who knows? I feel very strongly that Mother's with us, and I can feel her, and I can pray to her sometimes and just have a wash through of support and relaxation sometimes when I'm stressed or when things aren't going well. She's there. I always try to pray before each time I give a talk, of course, too. You know, I just so remember Bob Raymer, who was a disciple of my master's, but he got to meet David and I and Kate. I went back to Minnesota, to Michigan to meet him. And he said that he was so petrified of giving talks on spiritual things. Master brought him in close. As soon as he met him, he brought him in close, taught him Kriya. And within a couple of days, you know, or deciding to ordain him, but he ordained him shortly after that, if not that first time they met. But, and so he was kind of thrown into the crucible. And he said that he would pray to Master earnestly before he started to talk, and that Master always came through for him. He felt as soon as the time would come, he would feel relaxed and comfortable. And he said that he always was there for him, but he didn't feel that way before. He had to sit down and pray, Master, why would you give me this responsibility? I'm not qualified. You have to do it.
Mother said that too.
Yes, she did.
I'm not qualified.
Yes, she did. You know, it's funny, David never talked that way. He was kind of preacher naturally, though shy in many respects, but he was, he had some kind of inner confidence on spiritual topics. You know, he, as a human being, he was a regular human being, but on spiritual things, and when he entered into spiritual things, and spiritual ideas, topics, talk, but also responsibilities or duties, rituals or rites, he just did them naturally. It just seemed to be he's probably been many times teacher before. So, coming back to us. Anyway. Don't we miss them? But we can feel them at the moment. Let's say our closing prayer.
Okay.
Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father. Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
You feel the wonder
and the beauty
of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet.
And surrender myself to thee.
And surrender myself to thee.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel power, thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Om. 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 Peace.
Bliss.
Amen. Play some music on the way out.
Heaven moved the earth.
the power of death was crucified. The veil was torn, the light broke through, and all things starly made new. The grave could not hold you, the darkness bowed to you. You are alive, the storm is rolled away, victory is yours, forever you will reign. Death has lost its sting, the battle has been won, hope is rising now.
Every time.
Hari Om.